Welcome to this week's episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. On this week's episode, we talk about the Kangaroo Court, known as the International Court of Justice, and the South African case against Israel. Let's get started. Over the last week, I've received a lot of questions about this trial going on, the supposed South African genocide trial against Israel. I figured it'd be a good idea, since we are currently in the middle of this trial, to put out a little bit of information so that way people could better understand what's going on here. For anybody who has not yet heard some of the news going around the world, it's kind of amazing to think that maybe you haven't heard about it, is that the Israelis are currently defending themselves in front of an international court for the accusation of committing a genocide against the people of Gaza. This case was brought by the country of South Africa to the international court claiming that Israel is committing a genocide. There's a lot of misinformation being spread, including the messages I was receiving from supposedly pro-Palestinian, I would call anti-Israel accounts, trying to show off and brag about how this is some sort of sign that there is in fact a genocide happening, simply because this case has been brought and that the international world has agreed to hear it. What many people fail to understand, however, is that this is not a war crimes trial, as many would assume. When you hear international court, of course, you think of the Nazis at Nuremberg or some type of major trial to claim that someone is committing a genocide. However, this is not the case. This is happening at the International Court of Justice, which is different than the International Criminal Court, where war crimes are typically discussed. On the other hand, the International Court of Justice is more of a civil court, in a way, trying to negotiate between two countries when it comes to a dispute. When I brought this up to some person who messages me all the time claiming to be pro-Palestinian, he acknowledged the fact that it is not a criminal trial, however, thinks that this will be a great stepping stone to officially prove that a genocide is happening. Unfortunately for this person and many others, this isn't exactly the case that they're expecting. The irony of this entire situation is that so many people are sitting here waiting and hoping that Israel's going to be charged with some type of war crime, that this isn't the first time that Israel has actually been brought to this court. In 2004, Israel was also brought to the ICJ, with the claims that their security fence and security wall that went up to stop the intifada and the bombings and suicide attacks all throughout Israel, killing thousands, was deemed to be an apartheid wall. For most people who have listened to this podcast or maybe have done a little bit of research on the history, we all know that there is no apartheid in Israel. This wall itself is a border and was put up in response to sniper fire. People driving to and from on the highway would be shot at by snipers in Arab villages. This wall was put up as a defense mechanism to stop the ability for people who are in Arab villages overlooking Israeli highways to be able to attack those highways. It is not an apartheid wall, like people would suggest. However, unfortunately, according to the ICJ that heard the case, they claimed it was an apartheid wall and demanded it be removed. Following the ruling of the ICJ, do you want to know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened, because the reality of it is the ICJ, along with many UN agencies, is absolutely powerless and useless. These court trials are simply symbolic, which is the exact same thing that's happening today, because Israel is under no obligation to follow the ICJ's recommendation to remove the wall and put their own civilians at risk. For anybody who's been around on this podcast for quite a while, you know I've done extensive talking about the UN and how useless it is in general. But we've seen in this current situation exceptionally how useless the UN is. It is unable to stop wars, it's unable to mediate conflict, and to be honest with you, it seems unable to even be able to stand up for women who have been raped and for terrorists who rape women as resistance, they call it. They can't even stand up against that. But they're going to talk about apartheid walls and genocide. So forgive me if I don't take their rulings exactly like a real court would be. This isn't exactly unbiased, and we're going to talk about why. The UN, when it began, started with democracies and organizations and groups that had a hope for human rights and peace among all nations. However, unfortunately, that hasn't been the case for the last number of years, with the inclusion of dictators, autocrats, kings, despots, anybody can join, doesn't matter what your belief is on human rights and they'll let you sit on the Human Rights Council, hint, hint, Iran. Of the 193 UN member states, only 84 are considered to be free societies, meaning that more than half of the UN are autocracies and dictatorships. These are the people, over half. If you vote 50-50 down the line, there are more people who don't believe in freedoms that are voting. And this is supposed to be an unbiased situation in the UN. And when it comes to the International Court of Justice, who do you think appoint these judges that are sitting there? They're appointed by the autocrats and the dictators that are in the UN. So forgive me when I think that some of these countries that are not free places themselves are going to pass judgment on a democracy in the Middle East. Are we really going to take them at their word and think that they're going to judge freely? Why do we assume that their rulings are not based on politics? It's not exactly like the rule of law matters to these people. The people who appoint them as judges from their countries who are autocrats, you don't think that they're going to be able to say to them, hey, by the way, you know, we hate Israel. We're getting paid off by some of these Gulf states, or we're getting paid off by Russia, or we're getting paid off by China. Just make sure you vote the way we want you to vote. Do you think there's any honor in this system? It's unbelievable to think about how corrupt it can be. And yet people sit here and think that this is some sort of ruling that's going to change the world based on fact and reality. One piece of fact and reality that apparently is not able to be presented by the Israelis in their defense against genocide is the genocide that was caused on October 7th by Hamas. They're not even allowed to bring that up in the court. They can't show it. They can't discuss it. Why? Because, oh, it's not important. Apparently the beginning of this conflict and this war is not important in a genocide trial. Interesting. The reality is that this is absolutely not an accident. It's not an accident that this is coming up now. Israel is being attacked from all sides. In the south, the Houthis that are sending rockets into Israel and attacking ships. The United Nations seems to go silent on the Houthi rebels who are attacking innocent ships in the Red Sea, not even having anything to do with Israel. We have Hezbollah in the north who are shooting rockets daily on towns in the north of Israel. Nobody's talking about that. It's absolutely ridiculous how little information is going out about that. The international world doesn't care about that. Iran is also promoting their Hamas terrorists to do what they did on October 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and so on and so on. Thousands of rockets were hitting Israeli cities, and nobody said anything about it. The ground war is the more obvious war. We're even, unfortunately, used to the PR battle, which has been going on for years. The Hollywood, fake media, social media, attempts to change history, say things didn't happen that we saw with our own eyes, whatever it may be. The PR case, unfortunately, is such a hard struggle for people like me and other influencers that are online. We understand the PR game, unfortunately. But one thing that we don't often see as clearly, and many people forget, is the way that Iran fights in the international courts. They are trying to delegitimize Israel just like they are with their weapons and their PR. They're delegitimizing Israel in the international world. They have controlled the strings. Them and all of their money and the anti-Israel voting bloc has attempted to demonize the one country, the apparently most hated country in the entire world with the most sanctions, not China, not Iran, not Russia, not North Korea. Israel is the most sanctioned country in the entire world. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unless maybe you realize that it's all a game to these people. They pay off countries. They make sure that everybody votes the way they want them to vote, using whatever sway they can to delegitimize Israel. That is the other way that they are trying to attack Israel. And this court is exactly an extension of that. They take them to an international court and try and ruin their reputation with some accusations. So on the one hand, it might be that this completely crooked court that we're going to talk about in a moment actually will say that there's a genocide happening, which essentially means nothing on the international world except for validating the lies that are being spread by Iran and many of their friends. On the other hand, if Israel is found to be not guilty of genocide, I see two things happening. First of all, and most important, it really doesn't matter because the mud has already been slung. All they needed is for a nice document that said Israel committed genocide, take it to a court, make it seem legitimate, and that's all they need to demonize Israel. They really don't need to actually get the conviction, as we would call it, in order to demonize Israel. The other option is they are seen as not guilty, and everyone just claims it's a fake, corrupt court anyway. Just like I said about the people online, they don't care what the outcome is. They believe what they believe, and it really doesn't matter what the facts are on the ground. The damage is done either way. Whatever the outcome ends up being really doesn't matter, because even if they're found supposedly guilty by this corrupt court filled with corrupt judges, the Security Council ends up getting this resolution and has to put it into action. So we know the United States is not going to stand by. Unfortunately, many countries will, but the United States is going to actually veto it likely in the Security Council. So the case is really just a waste of time and a big exercise in demonizing Israel on the international world. And the funny thing is, Iran didn't bring this case themselves for a few reasons. First of all, it would look really silly when Iran, one of the world's worst terrorism sponsor, is bringing this kind of case. They need it to seem a little more legitimate. However, they didn't really do a great job by picking South Africa. And second of all, the irony is that Iran wasn't even a part of the international justice system until this past year. They didn't want to be a part of it because they knew that they are one of the world's worst actors when it comes to human rights and other things, and they actually might be brought to this court. So they weren't even a part of the court only until this year. So I hate to say, when you just join the court this year and then your first act as part of this court is to bring a crazy idea that your terrorists are being genocided, it may take away a little bit of the legitimacy of your claim. South Africa has really gotten close to Iran these last few years, so much so that the South African foreign minister actually visited Tehran shortly after October 7th. That's a heck of a coincidence. Iran plans October 7th and okayed it, and actually set it in motion. And then a couple days later, South Africa decides to visit with Iran. I wonder why. Maybe Iran knew to get South Africa ready, because those legal briefs that they filed probably weren't done overnight. That would have had to take weeks for lawyers to fill out all the paperwork, to write these briefs, to submit them to the international court. So that plan had been set in motion probably long before this case did. Not only that, but South African officials were actually photographed with the leader of Hamas in Qatar. That is definitely not a coincidence. South Africa is working with Iran and Iran's proxies to fully 360 delegitimize Israel on the international world. Iran takes care of the weapons and the rockets and the death and destruction. South Africa is taking care of the international demonization, and they are more than happy to do it, even at the expense of their own people. According to the chief rabbi of South Africa, the irony in this whole thing is that the South African government, who is so concerned about 20,000 people killed, supposedly, these numbers are not accurate, by the state of Israel, that they brought an international court trying to sort through all of these terrible deaths that shouldn't be happening. Yet meanwhile, the South African government currently oversees a country that sees nearly 30,000 people murdered, their own civilians murdered in their country every year, 30,000. And yet, apparently, they are too busy dealing with the international court about Israel, but not concerned at all about the 30,000 that are being killed in their own country. They're too busy filing international briefs rather than dealing with their own justice system. In the end, it really doesn't matter what the outcome of this case is. The damage has been done. Iran has gotten what they needed. They put it on the international world. All we're hearing 24/7 is Israel and genocide. Israel, genocide. We're seeing clips of the South African prosecution making their case filled with lies and completely inaccurate truth. And then we see the Israelis defending, and people just don't care what they have to say anyway. It's allowing people to have justification for the hate that they already felt long before this conflict started. People didn't like Israel long before this current issue in Gaza. So the international court is only lending credibility and giving cover to those people who already hated Israel and thought Israel could never do anything right. Personally, I'm not going to waste my time going through with you, the listeners who probably already know, all of the levels that Israel is going through in order to try and fight off this genocide claim, talking about the leaflets they drop, opening up humanitarian corridors that are being closed by Hamas, talking about how Hamas is targeting civilians and Israel is not. You can find dozens and dozens of videos of Israeli fighter pilots saying, right before they bomb a high-risk target, they say, "I see children around. Do I have the right to fire?" And they will say no. They will let a terrorist go because there are kids around. You're telling me that that's a war crime? To avoid shooting? Whereas it's apparently not a war crime that Hamas uses its own people as human shields, and they put their babies around the rocket launching sites on purpose to avoid getting hit themselves. They use their babies as human shields. This is a war crime. Now, unfortunately, other than the actual ICC or International Criminal Court, it's possible that someone could bring a case against the head of Hamas and claim that they are actually a war criminal. And that case could probably easily be proven with all of the facts that we know already. The using of human shields, the raping as a form of terror, using hospitals, schools, mosques. These are all war crimes, and he could easily be charged with it. But the reason why that won't actually work is because I'm sure Qatar, where he's living nice and comfortably, is not going to extradite him. They're not going to send him over to the international court, which, you know who else had this problem? South Africa. South Africa actually left the International Criminal Court because they refused to turn over Vladimir Putin, who was going to be charged as a war criminal for his war in the Ukraine. They actually had to leave the International Criminal Court or else they would be subject to actually arresting and sending him to The Hague for a war crimes trial. So they actually left it in order to avoid having to do what is right for the law. So can we expect that the Hamas terrorists are going to ever face any type of justice other than the justice that Israel gives, either through the courts or through blowing them off of the face of this earth? Probably not. It is only allowed because Israel is an actual democratic state and has to face these charges, unlike the terrorist group Hamas, who has done nothing wrong according to the international world. They can't hold them accountable anyways because they really don't care about the international world. And they will continue to do the things they're doing until, unfortunately, Israel stops them. No one else in this world is planning on stopping Hamas. They will allow them to continue to kill Jews and Gazans forever and ever and ever until the end of time, because no one cares. The Israeli people are putting their lives on the line to protect the Gazan people, not to commit genocide. Genocide means you're actively targeting civilians and people for destruction. Israel wants nothing more than to get out of Gaza, to leave there and never have to look back ever again. God willing, one day all of our hostages will be out, the Israeli soldiers can come home, and there will be peace and a prosperity between these two peoples that live in the area. Enough fighting, enough blood has been spilled. We don't need this anymore. Genocide and genocide trials are a joke and completely a waste of time. We should be focusing on actually solving the problem. This has been another episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. Don't forget to check us out on social media at jdr.podcast and check out some of our other episodes on your favorite podcast source. We'll see you next time.